As we all know, the holidays can sneak up on us before we know it, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun doing it. Now, you may think that sounds crazy, but I can tell you that Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. The amazing stuff you can get from Uncommon Goods are high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the U.S., and many of them have been crafted by independent artists and small businesses. But be warned, because everything is made in small batches, so the best finds can sell out fast. I've shopped a lot with Uncommon Goods and have gotten things that I've never seen anywhere else. Every gift I've bought has been handmade, created by an independent artist, and best of all, I was able to customize them, including this really cool set of glasses that I got that were etched with a map of Alton. And you can get things customized for you too. Names, places, anniversary dates, you name it, they can do it. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Book lovers, history buffs, home cooks, gardeners, mixologists, and not only does shopping with them support artists and small independent businesses, but with every purchase you make from Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date, so why not buy great gifts and help do something great at the same time? So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gifts, go to uncommongoods.com/hauntings. That's uncommongoods.com/hauntings for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Start over.
Because I also
sounded like I was asking a question too. Welcome to American Hauntings.
Welcome to American Hauntings, the podcast dedicated to the history, hauntings, legends, lore, and the dark side of America. And welcome to our annual Halloween movie episode. My name is Troy Taylor, and with me is my friend and co-host, Cody Beck. And we like to offer this episode every Halloween as something a little different for your podcast stream that helps you celebrate the season. In past years, we've offered lists of our favorite ghost movies, our favorite religious horror movies, our favorite road trip horror movies, and have even broken down the decades with some of the scariest films from those different eras. But this year, we're going to do something a little differently and present some of the horror films that lesser men would be embarrassed of. We call them our guilty pleasures horror films. The secret films that we're probably not supposed to like, and yet we do. And we never get tired of them, no matter how bad some people think they might be. In some of our episodes, we have extolled the virtues of films like VHS 2. For Cody, not for me, and films like The Hills Have Eyes, those remakes, or the new version of The Last House on the Left. But this time, we're going to bring out some of the lesser known films that we're not supposed to love, and yet we do. So here we are, not afraid of being embarrassed, Troy and Cody.
I'm Cody Beck. Yes, I'm excited for this, Troy. You know, we needed a theme. We had a bunch of
ideas. I know, this
was
a great idea on your part.
Thank you. And this way we get to talk about, you know, whatever we want. We're not really limited in any way.
Right. Didn't have to have a theme other than, you know, that these movies are not exactly, what many people would consider to be great horror films.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that I think some of them are great.
I know.
I just really like them. That's the thing.
I know. So. And it's tough to decide, like, do I like this and people just start understanding? Or is it like, I accept that this is terrible, but I still can't look away? You know,
exactly. And the sad thing is that we had some of the same films on our list.
Yes, we did.
So, I mean, you know,
And I
says a lot.
I even fired back one of them. I was like, we already know we're both going to have
this. Yes, we already know we love this one. So it might as well just go on the list.
And what I realized is before you sent over your list, I had watched one of these purposely the day before, just because I was like,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Like, so
that's funny.
So it's like, yeah, this is just these are, you know, they're near and dear to our heart for better or for worse.
Yeah, yeah, for a variety of reasons. I don't even know what some of those reasons are, but they're still here. So,
yes.
All right. Well, how do you want to start? How do you want to kick?
Let's, you know, I typically pull stuff like a fun fact and tagline and stuff like that and things like that. So, let's start kind of with
let's say something off your list that maybe isn't on mine. So,
the only thing I would add, honestly, aside from stuff, I just kind of left it alone. Aside from VHS 2.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. VHS 2, which we have discussed many times.
I know.
And I know you do love it. And, I like those. You know, I like those anthology kind of things. Did you see the newest one, the VHS Halloween?
I haven't seen that one. And that's what I was going to ask.
It's not very good.
Isn't there? Was there?
Disappointed.
There was, I was going to say, I know they keep coming out with them and they keep getting, they're weirder or a little like one-off.
I know. I heard this might be the last one, and I hope not, because if it is, it's not going to go out on a bang. it's just not. So, yeah. But anyway, so go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just, these movies, this is something that I am going to bring up because there's a big theme with this list, you'll notice in general, but the found footage phenomena, you know?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them, as you may have noticed. There were a lot of them on this list.
It's such a huge thing. And I don't know when, Paranormal Activity was one of the big ones. Blair Witch is one of the big ones, you know, kind of kicks these things off. I don't know why it seemed to have taken so long. I can't imagine that. Like, I bet that there are people that put out some found footage movies a long time ago that didn't have any budget.
I mean,
that
if you want to count like Cannibal Holocaust, which hate to count that for anything because that's just a bad film, not a guilty pleasure, just bad. That technically, I think, was like one of the very first found footage kind of films. I mean, technically,
right.
I think there was other stuff that have come along, and that like the Poughkeepsie tapes was something else. There's another one that I can't think of the name of it, but it's like a family in Florida and there's a UFO landing. And I think that's really kind of the first like modern one, but really, I mean, what really kicked it off was Blair Witch.
Right.
I mean, obviously, and obviously the St. Francisville Experiment was another classic in the genre.
It is.
And so, you know, it was right on the heels of Blair Witch. I mean, it was the following year. So, as crappy as it is and horrible as it is, it was still pretty early. I mean, as far as that goes.
Yes.
But, you know, it's terrible. I hate that movie. But I do watch a lot of found footage films. I still do. I don't know why. But there's my guilty pleasure genre right there. Found footage movies. I get on Tubi and they have a whole section, a whole area of nothing but found footage films. And so, yeah, I'll start it. And if it sucks, you know, my rule. 10 minutes. Everything gets 10 minutes. And if it, you know, is terrible after 10 minutes, it goes. So since we started talking about this, let's start with my first guilty pleasure film on the list.
Yes, please.
From 2007, not to be mistaken with the Jumanji sequel. This one is Welcome to the Jungle, which I'm sure just ripped off the name from Guns N' Roses. But that's not really the point here. Mm-hmm. The point is, this is a cool movie to me.
Yes, anyway. Yes, it is. Know? And so these couples go searching for the lost Rockefeller, which that's a real thing, right?
But that's a real thing. Yeah, yeah. See, that's, I think that was what kind of appealed to me about this in the first place, because I just watched something recently called, I don't know what it was called. It was a found footage about people going into the jungle. And as I'm watching it, I kept telling Sam, I said, you know, this is not as good as Welcome to the Jungle. You know, it's not as good. And so she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I'll show you. We'll find it. It's nowhere streaming anywhere.
Wow.
But I found a used DVD on eBay. So I have it copied now.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
Now I can watch it anytime I want. But yes, it is. They were looking for Michael Rockefeller, who actually disappeared for real. In 1961, he had gone to New Guinea and was a photographer and was, you know, from the Rockefeller family. And he was taking pictures and he got, you know, in with a tribe of headhunters and cannibals and was never seen again. So, gee, go figure. But anyway, the movie has a, you know, a bit of a twist ending, but it is just dumb. It's a dumb, fun movie. You know what? I'm going to quit saying that. None of these are dumb. They're all good for one reason or another. So,
yeah, I mean, anyway. they're good enough to make those, but they're good enough to stick with you, stick in your head.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched it several times. I'm not tired of it yet. So,
yeah, we don't
have to say the same thing about a lot of things.
We don't have to
much better movies.
Yeah, we don't have to be ashamed any more than we already are. I couldn't find any taglines for this, unfortunately, but I did find some fun.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, you know.
So. Yeah, the entire crew for shooting of the movie was only 8 people, which is insane.
But I can believe that.
Yes.
I'm surprised it was that many.
I know. So. And that the movie really just didn't have a script. It was mostly just improvised.
I can believe that, too.
The whole time. Yeah. Yes. And I think this was a great way to kick it off and a great addition. You want to move on to the next one? That's way more. It's we're jumping to something way more famous, I guess, you know, and like.
I mean, it was. The next thing I stuck on the list was the Friday the 13th remake that came out in 2009. And that was supposed to be like the start of a new genre. I mean, a new thing of Friday the 13th movies. It was supposed to kind of kickstart it and start it over again. And it was technically supposed to be like a new canon, you know, Friday the 13th, and just reboot everything. But it just, for whatever reason, didn't take off. And I don't understand why.
I don't either.
I really like this movie.
This is the one that I randomly wanted to watch.
It's got the dude from Supernatural.
It does.
Pilecki is in it. And that was supposed to be the thing that kicked it off. Now, on the other hand, the Dean from Supernatural was at the same time in a remake of My Bloody Valentine, which I believe was 3D.
Yes.
And it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
This one, however, was actually really good. And I liked the Jason in this. You know, he was this huge menacing kind of figure with the backstory. They told the backstory and left it alone. I just liked this movie. And I have watched the, you know, uncut version or uncensored version several times. I mean, it was Michael Bay, which, I mean, you know, to a lot of people, they go, Michael Bay. But to me, I go, ooh, Bad Boys, you know, that's, you know, so I guess maybe my taste in movies is, you know, maybe subpar compared to some people. But anyway, I really dug this one. Didn't they come out there looking for weed, like a magic marijuana grove that was out in the woods? Isn't that why they came out there, those kids?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And the kid that's in it, the goofy kid that's in it, is the kid from Cabin in the Woods too. Isn't that the same kid? The blonde one that's kind of goofy acting? I think he is. Now, I'm not positive on that, but I think he is.
I can't remember. There's the guy that's in As Above, So Below.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of that. But there's another one that's
maybe I should. Sure, yeah.
I know. Gosh, there's so many things here that we could probably, you know, continue with as far as cool stuff.
But you're right. I do love when, like, Jason is supposed to. I like it when Jason looks like if he stepped into a pool, he'd sink to the bottom. Like, just
Well, he also the other cool thing about this is that he looks like he's dead. I mean, he looks like he's come back to life, which is kind of what I liked. I liked that after, was that after number six oh, gosh. Or something when he sinks in the lake, or I don't know. It's too much to keep up with.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't keep track of all of them. But anyway, I like this movie, and I don't think that it gets a fair shake. I really don't. I think it's good, and it's fun. It's a fun movie. So there you go.
I agree.
How I made the list.
I agree. And the tagline, I mean, there's a few of them, but I try to pick, this is Jason lives, many will die. It's like, okay.
That's not great.
Well, the fun fact I have is that Richard Berge, he wasn't cast as Sheriff Brake, whatever, until 12 hours before they needed to begin filming his character scenes. Typical doing a horror movie on, making it work.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, somebody put some money behind this thing.
Yes.
You know, I don't understand why it didn't fly, but for whatever reason it didn't. And now, but look, have you gotten any other Jason movies since then? No, there have been no other ones since then because it's so mired in lawsuits and all kinds of stuff that they can't get anything made.
Yep.
Now, I did hear, though, that they were doing the Crystal Lake prequel series, kind of like the It Welcome to Derry, which is really good, by the way.
I haven't checked it out yet.
The first episode was great. But so I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe something will come of Jason. But unfortunately, it's not going to be this. And that's too bad. But anyway,
it did have a budget of $19 million and grossed $92.7 million.
You can't call that a failure by any means.
Second highest grossing film in the franchise.
So I still don't understand what happened.
And this is another movie I just watched recently that the highest grossing film in the franchise. I'm guessing you could take a guess of what it is because.
Oh, God. It's so hyped. Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
I hate that movie.
I went to the theater to see it. I was so excited.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I was too.
Well, young, yeah. But how old were you at the time? 10?
Yeah, like 14, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's probably perfect appeal there.
Yeah, I was so excited. But
we're not making fun of anything.
Nope. You're right.
I'm not gonna make fun of it. So that's somebody's guilty pleasure movie. So
you're right. We're doing a good job. We got to stay open about about these things. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's one of the ones that's worth checking out. You want to keep going?
Sure. Now this movie, this next one on the list, I've mentioned this recently because. Mm-hmm. We were doing that Borderland episode with
this,
and I mentioned that this was a hostile knockoff, but one of the better ones, at least it is to me. And that's Turistas, which is a Josh Duhamel backpacker movie about a bunch of guys and girls who go on a vacation and they have a bus accident and they end up in Brazil somewhere in some rural area. And it's pretty much a movie about how if you go to these places, foreigners are going to take your kidneys. That's pretty much what it's about. But I don't know. I've always liked this movie. I don't know if it's just because it's Josh Duhamel, who's,
he's great.
Say what you want about, Fergie and all that. He's a good actor, but it's got Melissa George in it. Olivia Wilde's in it. I mean, it's got a good cast. I mean, I know it's 2006. So, a couple of those people were just kind of getting started. But still, it's a good movie, I think. Anyway. So I enjoy it. You ignore the ratings when you love this stuff.
And, yes.
I think this is a good one.
I think it's good. I like it. I think it's fun. The tagline for this one, I actually do like, it's just go home.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
The fun fact is that in one underwater scene, Olivia Wilde's character can be seen panicking while trying to find an air bubble. This is actually real. It's Wilde missed her mark and could not locate the air bubble.
Because
it was a wide shot, the safety divers were too far away to get there, but she eventually found the pocket.
Oh, man.
Imagine dying for this movie, though.
Okay. Even though I like it, I still would have to... I'd have to, say that is definitely not worth dying for.
So. Not worth dying
for. It's better than like The Ruins, which is another one of those jungle movies around the same time. I don't know. I like this one. I like it better than Borderland. And I know you like that one. And I definitely like it better than Hostel. So
I agree. I'd agree.
So, yeah, whatever.
What I will say though is the ruins had such a cool looking cover, like our art, that I was really excited for it.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, yeah, it's not great.
So. Wasn't worth it. This next one I hadn't heard of before.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I got another found footage film, the Chernobyl Diaries. You hadn't heard of that?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the next one on my list. This is one of those movies that I don't know how I found it. I just stumbled across it one time. And not to be confused with, you know, the HBO series or anything of Chernobyl. We don't want to, you know, mix it up with that. But this is just, it was, like a extreme tourism thing, which I thought was kind of cool. It was like these people that sign up to go on these trips to do dangerous places. And I mean, you know, Chernobyl, that's seems pretty dangerous.
Top of the list, yeah.
But because there is this, you know, there's that abandoned city there, and that's for real. I mean, there really mm-hmm. is that abandoned town. We've probably seen a lot of the pictures of it and stuff. And so they sign up with this guy in Russia to go on this trip. And I don't know. I like this movie. It gets a little wild toward the end, but as often found footage films do, but I don't know. It's a cool one, I think. So definitely worth watching if you haven't seen it. So
yeah. And you know, $1 million budget made 38 million.
A good investment. Yeah. You can't be mad. And it also was one of those films that came out around the same time as Devil's Pass. Do you remember that one? Actually, there were a whole bunch of them that came around the same time. There was Devil's Pass. Then there was like this Frankenstein one where they were looking for Frankenstein's monster, which isn't as bad as it sounds.
Okay.
It really isn't, but I can't remember the name of the movie. I'd have to Google that. But that one's actually pretty good too. Devil's Pass is about these people making a documentary, and they're going, I'm not saying it because the
Dilatov.
I don't know, whatever it is, the pass in Russia where they found the dead hikers. But this is pretty good. That's a good movie too. I mean, as far as a guilty pleasure found footage kind of movie, I like it. It was done by the guy who did Chernobyl Diaries was done by the guy who did Paranormal Activity. So, you know,
yeah, I saw that. That's great. And I think it's another one. I mean, if this is what you like, then it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it, because I hadn't heard of it before. And it's another found footage gem, I'd say.
Oh, okay. So I think I found that movie that I was telling you
Frankenstein?
About. Yeah. It's called The Frankenstein Theory. And it came out at the same time as this other stuff, 2012, 2013. All those came out around that same time. And this one, I mean, the only thing this gives you is, and it's from the creators of The Last Exorcism, which that's a good movie. Now, the sequel is not great, but the original The Last Exorcism is pretty good. But this one, I mean, it says, what if the most chilling novel of all time was actually based on an account of a horrific experiment gone awry?
Ooh.
Now, I'm telling you, it sounds dumb just to say it, you know, and to see what it is. But it's got some good people in it. It's got some good actors in it. And it's actually a pretty good movie.
It's some creepy artwork, guy, I can see, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy who is kind of like the guide that takes them out there is Timothy Murphy, who you would recognize if you saw him. He was in like Sons of Anarchy. He played like the Irish mob guy in Sons of Anarchy.
Absolutely.
And he's been in a lot of stuff. And you know him if you saw him. And he's the guy who just, you know, takes him out there to look for Frankenstein's monster. And I know it sounds dumb, but again, I mean, I didn't put it on my list, but since we're already talking about some other found footage at the same time, that one's pretty good. So
yeah,
anyway, and so's Willow Creek, the Bigfoot movie, around the same time. That's the Bobcat Goldthwait, which you'd never know it.
No shit.
To that, but he did a found footage horror film about Bigfoot, and it's actually pretty damn good.
The Police Academy voices guy and all that?
No. Bobcat Goldthwait, he was the comedian for a while. He didn't.
That's what I thought.
police academy, but he was a, I don't think he did.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyway, he did a Bigfoot found footage movie and it's pretty good. So anyway, all right, let's move on.
Yeah, he was in police academy.
Was he? Oh, okay. Yes. Well, which one?
He was, I just remember.
Well, saw anything past the first one?
I just remember him as a kid. I remember him falling down the stairs and he was going, that didn't hurt. Oh. That didn't hurt.
Like, okay. All I remember is he used to like yell stuff all the time. But anyway.
Yes.
So the next film on the list is one of those films that I think more people hate it than like it, but they don't know why they hate it because they've never seen it. Mm-hmm. All they know is that it's about ventriloquist dolls.
And they know the poster.
So they freak out. And that's Dead Silence. I love this movie. This was like James Wan's first movie. And for whatever reason, it gets a real bad rap. And I honestly think it's because people have not seen it. And they, you know, they just don't, they don't understand what it's about or how creepy it is and how, you know, scary Mary Shaw is, the woman that has this collection of hundreds of ventriloquist dummies, you know. But yeah, I really like this movie. It's got Ryan Kwanten that was in True Blood, who played the kind of goofy, it was her brother or cousin or whatever he was. I don't know. Anyway, watch that show in years, but it's got, and then it has the only drawback to this movie, I think, is Donnie Wahlberg. And normally I wouldn't say that because it's okay. He's an okay actor, but he's not great in this. I don't know what he's trying to be in this, like hard-boiled detective guy or something, but for whatever reason, he's really lame in this, but I still really like this movie.
So I would agree. I wouldn't have put this.
Oh, and it wasn't his first movie. Saw was his first movie. What am I thinking of?
Yes.
But James Wan, but this was like number two. So
yeah, I wouldn't have put this one on my list, but I've seen it many times. It's also funny that I've been watching just yesterday. I think for the last few days, I've been watching this show and I've seen it before, but I went through and revisited some new episodes and it's hosted by Donnie Wahlberg and it's called Very Scary People.
Oh yeah. 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 I listened to the podcast of it and it was not bad. Yeah. It was pretty good.
It's so funny because every time it starts or there's a break or whatever, it's Donnie Wahlberg coming around a corner in a warehouse. Every time there's this creepy warehouse.
Well, you know how those comes around. You know how that works, right? I mean, it's like when people go, "Oh, yeah, you went to film that. Was Dan Aykroyd there?" No, he's never there. I've never met him. Right. Neither has anyone on the crew. No one has met him because he comes in, you know, one day and films all of his stuff. So Donnie Wahlberg shows up at a warehouse and they just keep shooting him coming around the corners.
That's amazing.
That's how that worked. Yeah.
That's easy. Troy's pulling back the Hollywood curtain to show you.
Oh yeah. Right. That's a real, real shocker. So
this one, this is not great though. I don't know if this is accurate. It says budget's $20 million, but the worldwide gross is $22 million, which is
I don't believe that. No, way this cost $20 million.
No, it can't. It can't.
No, I don't buy that one.
No, I don't either. That can't be right. So remember, folks, you can't believe everything you read on the internet or IMDb. That's another disclaimer. I always do.
Well,
I'm pulling everything from IMDb. I have no clue if any of it's true or not.
No, but it's right. Fun, exactly. So. Because IMDb is a lot like Wikipedia. Anybody can go in there and put stuff in.
So, great amount of accurate information, but not all the time.
But not all the time. Yeah.
It says at around 10 minutes of use. I put this in here word for word because I didn't like I didn't like how it sounds. It says at around an hour and 10 minutes during the climax in the storage area with all 101 dolls, you can see Jigsaw's doll from Saw sitting on the floor. Edgar Bergen's doll, Charlie McCarthy, on one of the shelves. The doll that Detective Lipton throws over his shoulder in this scene is a replica of ventriloquist dummy Jimmy Nelson's doll, Danny O'Day. So it's fun. They got some like
no Howdy Doody. Oh, I guess he wasn't a ventriloquist dummy.
So they got some nods to different things. And the tagline just "You scream, you die." which
yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's really bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. But anyway, yeah, it's it's fun. Dead Silence was fun. I guarantee you, if you're a horror movie fan and you haven't seen it, you have seen the cover art a billion times and just never thought to click on it. So give it a whirl.
Yeah, give it a try because it is fun. So, all right. So the next one I put on the list, and I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure, mostly because they did a sequel to it and it was actually well received and was pretty good. And I liked it. And so I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure or not, but it was for a while because this, you know, this sequel that they did, and now it's, you know, I even have like a, you know, a steel book Blu-ray, you know, of the film, but it's Orphan. It came out in 2009 with Isabel Furman. Vera Farmiga is in it, and she plays this orphan that's supposed to be from another country, and then it turns out she's like a 35-year-old woman or something who's, you know, but I like this movie. I thought it was good. I mean, even the tagline is cool. There's something wrong with Esther.
Yes.
You know, I picked. It's good. You know, it's good. I like this movie, and I don't think a lot of people have seen it. I don't think they know, you know, what it is, but this is a good movie. And even I thought even First Kill was pretty good too. I mean, it was a prequel. And the fact that they could get her back and make her look like she did when she was a kid, they did a pretty good job. But yeah, anyway, this is, I love it. That's why it's on my list.
I like this one. I remember when it came out, and I thought it was a big deal. I liked it a lot. I don't think I've seen First Killer. If I did, I just forgot about it. But I like this one. I think it's a solid choice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it crushed too. What else? Another one. Oh, this one's $20 million budget. I could see that though. But grossing $78 million. So that's
yeah, I can see that. I could see that with the, you had Peter Sarsgaard and or no, is it Sarsgaard or
it's Sarsgaard?
It's not one of the brothers, it's
right? Sarsgaard, yes. Sarsgaard, yeah.
And Vera Farmiga, I could see, you know, that it had a decent,
yeah, you can see, you can see that budget on screen,
yeah.
So that's a good one you should check out. It says this, and I again don't know if it's true, but I think it is, and it's interesting. It says the subtle uneasiness of the film's poster is due to the image of Esther's face. It's perfectly symmetrical. Half her face had been mirrored to form a whole face. And instead of like actually taking her whole entire face. So it's like, that's why it makes, you're like, I don't like this. Oh, I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Our brain's like, hold on. This is a little weird here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Troy, the next one is a classic.
It is classic. And I don't think it's one that we discussed when we did our religious horror.
I can't remember.
Mostly because I'm not clear that this has any religious aspects at all to it, but for whatever reason, I love this movie. Now the sequels, oh my god, there's 100 of them and they're all bad. Mm-hmm. But the original, The Prophecy, is really good. And this is with Christopher Walken, Virginia Madsen is in it, 1995, Elias Koteas when he still had hair. Mm-hmm. Eric Stoltz is in it in the beginning. This movie is
and Viggo
is just really good. Oh yeah, very small Viggo Mortensen role early in his career where he plays Lucifer.
Yes.
This movie is cool, and I think that I got a lot of I don't know, I just found it really interesting because in this Christopher Walken plays Gabriel, the angel, who is trying to start a war with heaven. Mm-hmm. Essentially is what it's about, and he's he's kind of just had enough, doesn't understand why the humans are okay and angels aren't, and I don't know. I guess the thing I really like about it is there's always just this one line, and I've never forgotten it, where, you know, they're talking about angels, aren't that the angels were the good guys, and he reminds everyone that no, angels are who God sends to do his dirty work. Mm-hmm. So when he needs like a city wiped out or needs people killed, that's who he sends to do it.
Yes.
You know, and so I don't know. I just really like this movie, and Eric Stoltz is really good in it, and I mean everybody in it is really good. And I don't know. It's just one of those movies that always stuck with me.
So, yeah. The first thing I put for this in all caps was quotes, because this movie has so many great quotes, like you mentioned. And I really do. I know what you're talking about. You know, would you ever really want to see an angel, like that whole.
Right.
I remember growing up listening to when I first started getting into metal music, there were multiple bands that used quotes from this movie to start off some songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like Rob Zombie in his old 50s horror films.
Yeah. Stuff like that, just to kind of set the tone. Let's see. Tagline: God's army has come to Earth and all hell is about to break loose. Just fun. And but then the other taglines, this is where people, you got to be careful, because I don't know if this is stuff that people entered or if it's something that was just pulling in stuff automatically, but I think it was started pulling in synopsis instead, because it said one of the taglines was Archangel Gabriel Walken has brought the second war of heaven to Earth. I'm like, that's not a tagline. That's a short synopsis.
No, that's just a synopsis.
And they're like five more of that. And I was like, this tagline thing's broken here. And I don't know. I think we might have done this movie before, actually, because I know that I've read this fun fact, and it was Viggo Mortensen claims that prior to shooting their scene together, Christopher Walken ate several whole garlic cloves.
Oh, you know what? I think maybe we did talk about this in our religious horror.
Because I remember that weird tidbit. And
I thought of another on the same line, another guilty pleasure film that's kind of along this same sort of theme that I know we haven't talked about. And that's, and again, this is one of those movies that I've seen probably at least a half dozen times. And that's Legion. Have you seen Legion?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Paul Bettany and Dennis Quaid. Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing. Group of strangers in a diner, except this time, and they're trying to destroy this pregnant girl who works there. And they, angels are after her baby to kill her baby. And so Paul Bettany decides to rebel, and he, comes to try and protect the angel. He plays Michael, St. Michael, the archangel, and shows up and with Lucas Black and Tyrese Gibson and stuff. And then what's really great is if you watch the trailer for this at the beginning of it, it says this movie must have come out at Thanksgiving time or something, because it says something about at Thanksgiving, don't forget to invite grandma to dinner. And that's kind of one of the things, is that one of these angels is in disguise as this old lady who goes crazy and starts attacking and killing everyone and eating them,
climbing the walls
in the restaurant, climbing the walls and stuff. But I don't know. I really like this movie. I think it's got a lot of cool atmosphere, and it's one of those, you know, all shot in one place. You know, I like those movies. It's like that. Remember that John Cusack movie from years ago?
Identity, 1408.
Is it Identity? I think.
Okay.
Where they're in that roadside motel.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's something bad happening. Of course, it's, you know, the end is a little disappointing, but. Anyway, this is like everything is happening inside this diner. And I don't know. It's just a cool movie. And I like it. So anyway, I stuck it. I kind of added on there as a, you know, another guilty pleasure. But so the next one that I put on the list, and I don't know if you've seen this one or not, but it was one of those movies that I was just like, you know, looking for something to watch one night. Was just rolling through. And I looked at it and I saw it and I thought, well, this kind of looks interesting. I wonder what this is about. And so I started watching it. And this movie is called Jerusalem with a Z. Jeruzalem. And it is it's a found footage film. But the premise is a little silly, because it's everything is done through like Google glasses or something. It's not a camera. It's the glasses that's filming everything. And it's about these two girls who go to Israel to visit the city of Jerusalem, when all of a sudden it is attacked by demons. I guess they're demons coming out of a hole somewhere or something. Have you seen this?
So
how would you describe it?
I have not.
But watch it.
What else?
Really like it. I've watched it. I've probably seen it three or four times. I really like this
movie. I'll tell you, I haven't seen this. When I was doing like research to pull all this stuff, my first note is just, this looks dope as fuck.
It is. Awesome. It's a good movie.
I have to check this out. I probably will tonight because, dude, it looks so cool.
Yeah, there are three gates to hell. One in the desert, one in the ocean, and one in Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's like comes from like the Talmud, I guess.
Something.
And so, but yeah, you should watch it because it's really cool. The special effects in it are really well done. And there's some scary shit in this. I'm not kidding. I think this movie is one of the best, and I don't know why people don't know about it. I don't know if it got a very limited release or what. I will say that almost everyone in this film, I mean, I've never heard of any of the people. It looks like the writers and directors, Doron and Yoav Paz, everybody seems to be Jewish or Hebrew, but I don't know why it's not more widely known. I think it's weird.
No idea.
I don't know.
Never heard of it. The trailer captivated me from the beginning. It looked awesome, and I'm definitely
gonna check it out. Is it really is. It's a lot of fun, and I mean, and like I said, it's pretty scary, but it's definitely worth watching. If you get a chance, you should watch it. I should probably know more about these guys. I just don't. But I mean, I liked it enough that after I watched it, I bought it, and then I've watched it a couple of times since then. It's a good one. So
yeah, tagline is, on judgment day hell shall inherit the earth, which is fun. And it's included in, let me see this, there's something I think actually called it was a documentary film,
Found footage phenomenon.
Which is a really good
That's a good documentary. I got a lot of ideas on that. I was writing down stuff right and left of stuff I wanted to see after watching that. I'm like, I have never seen this. How have I not seen this? And started watching it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I haven't seen that documentary, so I also want to check that out to see.
It's good.
What else
I'd
like
too.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep rolling.
All right. Yeah. So the next one on the list is one that I think is on a lot of people's guilty pleasure lists.
Yes.
They may never admit it, but I think it's there. And that is the 2005 version of House of Wax. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is a movie that I usually would never talk about liking because Paris Hilton is in it. And back at that time, there was no way I was telling anyone I watched a movie with Paris Hilton in it. But this is a good movie.
Yeah.
And she's really not even in it that much. And she's really not bad.
She's not that
bad. I mean,
bad.
She is what you would expect the character to be. So she's fine. The rest of the cast, honestly, not a whole lot better.
No.
Than Paris Hilton, Elisha Cuthbert from 24 that played Jack's daughter, and for God's sake, Chad Michael Murray, wasn't he from like One Tree Hill or something?
Yes.
I mean, come on, man.
Chad.
So there's some real, some of the cast here is not exactly anything you need to brag about. Although Jared Padalecki is in it, it's from Supernatural,
right?
Jared's popping back up. But this is a good movie. I mean, it's worth watching. I think they do a really good job with it.
I like it. I think it's good.
It's cool.
It had a high budget. I don't know if that's because of Paris and them or what, but it looks pretty good. I know we've talked about this one before because I have always made jokes about how it's my second favorite Paris Hilton movie. but no, it is good. And it's not a remake or a reboot. It just has
has the same title, and it happens to be, except in this case, it's not a House of Wax like the Vincent Price one. It's a Town of Wax.
Yes,
let's be honest. So, but yeah, this is a good one. I'm sorry, it is. This is a good movie.
It is. It had a bunch of terrible taglines, but the one that I actually did like was "There's a reason they look so real," which I thought was good.
Yeah, is that a never mind.
Yeah,
and we'll leave that alone. I'm not touching that.
Yeah, we shouldn't touch that, but you get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the town of Ambrose is constructed in 10 weeks. It was modeled after a real town called Asmara.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? As Mars, where the hell did you see that on IMDb? Yeah.
As Mars, built by the Italians in Africa during World War II in the modern style rather than the Deco style, which was more popular at the time. So who knows?
Wait a minute. A town of wax?
No, I don't think it was a town of wax. I think the town like structure.
A fake town.
Yes. Yeah. That.
Oh, OK. Come on, man.
No.
Really?
No, I wouldn't buy.
I don't believe that.
I'd read that one just to be like, right, hey, look how dumb this is.
Now I get it. Okay. All right.
It's a fair question to ask.
Well,
to ask.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it just seemed a little tough to believe. At first, I was like very intrigued, but then.
Really? Yes.
Now I have doubts. So anyway, all right. So the next one on the list.
Let's go.
One that is, let's be honest, this is a classic film. I mean, seriously, it's Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
And okay, this one is Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman,
the finest, you know,
actors of our generation.
That you can imagine. Yes, of our generation. Yes. I like this movie. It's silly. It's goofy. It is completely, I mean, it's supposed to be the 14th century and these guys have like catchphrases. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous.
It's beautiful.
I mean, it's about a couple of wandering knights that go around, you know, I guess they were Templars and they got kicked out because they, you know, were too hard to handle. I mean, they would just do whatever they wanted to do. And so they kind of went out on their own and they're like mercenary knights now. And they end up trying to save this town from a plague that's caused by a witch. And I don't know, it's ridiculous, but
it's ridiculous.
It's a good movie though. It's a lot of fun. Well, okay. All right. So maybe it's not a good movie, but it's definitely fun.
It's very fun.
Definitely fun. And it's got a pretty decent cast. I mean, Stephen Graham is in it. The guy that he plays Bruce Springsteen's dad in the new Deliver Me From Nowhere. He's Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire. He's in that that series that was out recently. In fact, he created that series, that adolescent series that was.
Oh, nice. Okay.
British series, which is very good. It's got Ulrich Thompson in it, who you would recognize if you saw him. Claire Foy, who played Elizabeth in the Crown, and one of the last films of Christopher Lee, which I'm sure he'd probably rather not be on his resume. But
yeah,
it's still a fun movie.
It is.
And I don't care what anyone says. I really like this movie. It's just dumb. It's dumb fun. It's a popcorn movie. You can't go wrong. You just can't. If you like knights and swords and stupid stuff and witches and I don't know, it's a fun movie.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know. The tagline, not all souls can be saved.
That's not necessary. Yes. I like the one that says on the poster that says this January, raise some hell. That's that's tagline. Because that's about as realistic as period correct as the film is.
See, I don't even think that was on the list of the taglines.
Oh, probably not. It was just on the poster.
You would think that would be a tagline that they would include in the tagline section of IMDb, but
it's IMDb. So instead they have, you know, two line synopsis garbage on there instead. So, you know,
yeah. For the role, Nicolas Cage learned horseback riding from Camilla Napros and her team.
How did he not know how to ride a horse by then?
And choreograph sword fighting. That's what I was going to ask. Is how did he not know?
The choreographed sword fighting, I could see. I can't think of any sword fighting he'd done. But he had ridden a horse.
He had to have by now, right? By 2011?
Camilla
and her team are like very famous stunt coordinators and things like that. So I guess I could easily fact check this, but I was like, how did Nick Cage not know how to ride a horse by then?
I don't know. Ron Perlman. Now, I don't know about him with horses, although he probably should have by then, too.
Yeah.
Although I can really see him more like punching horses.
I was going to say, would that have to get a horse big enough for him? Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big dude. Yeah, you're right. So anyway. All right. So They're good movies. So, yeah. All right. So let's get to the last film on the list.
Let's do it.
I put this last because I knew this was one that we both, will vouch for as being one that we particularly love. That is always going to be a guilty pleasure for most people. And that is the remake of A House on Haunted Hill. Just kidding. because although that one is pretty fun. Now,
it came out
at the same time as the one that is really on our list. Mm-hmm. And it was also a old William Castle, Vincent Price movie that, Vincent Price wasn't in 13 Ghosts, but he was in House on Haunted Hill. And it's a fun remake. And it's a very 90s. It's super 90s. Everybody in it is very 90s. Even Lisa Loeb is in it as a reporter at the beginning. But after the success of House on Haunted Hill from Dark Castle, they decided to do 13 Ghosts.
Yes.
And that's the one that is on our list with the glasses. And, what's so funny about this movie is that the inside jokes in this, going back to that original old film, William Castle, which you're probably familiar with, did a lot of kind of corny 50s era things like the Tingler. And that's when he wired electricity under the theater seats.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Tingler, there's a scene in the movie. If you watch it now, you watch this thing on TV at home in black and white. And you watch this and Vincent Price starts telling everyone to scream because the Tingler's loose in the theater.
Uh-huh.
It's no sense. But if you were in the theater back then and you're supposed to scream because they would wire up the seats with electricity and give you a jolt.
That's amazing.
In your seat.
That's amazing.
And so, in House on Haunted Hill, there's the scene where he's got the skeleton that's on the string.
Yeah.
Well, in the theaters, they were supposed to have a skeleton on a string that would then zoom out over the audience. So
that's so
13
cool.
Ghosts was the same way. So it was filmed in Spectrovision, I believe. And they used a different color of film for the ghosts so that when you wanted to see the ghosts, you had to put on these glasses that were like 3D glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you could see the ghosts on screen. So in the movie, in the remake movie, you put on those glasses and you can see the ghosts. So
right.
It was a nod to the old original.
That's amazing. But
this is such a great movie. And honestly, the ghosts themselves that are captured there in the house are pretty damn scary.
Hell yeah, dude.
I've heard for years they were going to do some anthology thing.
I don't think
it ever got made.
I looked into it today.
I don't think it ever got off the ground, but it was a great idea.
Yep.
But I just wondered if they waited a little too long. I mean, this movie came out in 2001.
I know.
24 years later, we're going to do this series about, it's too late now, but you'd have to remake the movie and it doesn't need to be remade.
No.
There's
Please
no reason
don't.
To remake this movie. It's good the way that it is.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've gotten so excited about it. I put it on my list to rewatch it because I haven't seen it in a few years. I mean, mm-hmm. I love this movie. It's so cool. And it was they came up with such great ideas for this thing with with the house that's like the big trap and, all the stuff with it. I mean, there's that scene with that glass panel cuts that guy in half.
Yeah.
I mean, plus it's got one of my favorite lines about, when they ask, what do you do for a living? And I'm a ghost hunter and I hunt ghosts and he says, goats, that's just that cracks. It still makes me laugh. I mean, it's still funny. So plus Matthew Lillard, I mean, come on,
Matthew,
always going to be fun.
Matthew Lillard has actually one of my favorite lines in the movie when he's like, I've been looking for a reason to like myself for a really long time.
Yeah. It's a good movie, man.
It's such a good movie. If you haven't seen this, I don't know how, but you got to check it out. It's because it's fun, but it's seriously scary.
It's got some scary stuff in it.
An anthology series on this would be so good. And I mean, the special effects for the ghosts, like they're all scary as hell in their own
way.
They
are scary.
And I know that this was a tagline. It was what's more terrifying than a ghost? 13 of them. because people have been making fun of that and doing like skits and bits and sketches off of it for a while because it's just so ridiculous.
It's funny.
We've definitely had this on another list. I know that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. Oh, there's also Misery Loves Company.
Ah,
that's another tagline. Beautiful. And Terror Has Multiplied.
Yes, I love it.
I don't know. Those aren't great. They're not great.
I think something that I found was when I was searching for this on IMDb, there's another movie that has an IMDb page called 13 Erotic Ghosts.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to say the synopsis of that movie. I'm not going to read it, but go check it out because
why not read it?
It's okay. Paranormal investigators arrive.
Oh, my God. It came out the following year. Yes. I just looked it up, too.
Paranormal investigators.
Fred Olin Ray. Well, there it is right there.
They arrive at a burned down girl school to check if the rumors of ghost appearances are true. With their special goggles, they see that the ghosts are constantly engaging in lesbian sex, which gets everyone horny. That's the synopsis. Wow.
Okay. That is 2000. Oh, Julie Strain is in it. That is 2001 to a T. I mean, that is everything you could possibly ask for from that time period. I don't know why it only has 3.9 stars. Wow.
Really? Yeah. Riding those cocktails. Yeah. But 13 Ghosts. Amazing. I looked up stuff today to see if any there was any progress or any forward momentum on the, you know, potential anthology series or anything. There's nothing. So like I said, I'm probably not going to get it. And that's a shame, but
no, I don't think it'll ever, it's one of those things that just keeps coming, that keeps popping back up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, things like that do, but you know, so did that, you know, Cramp Crystal Lake series. And now supposedly it's done, it's finished filming. And they've been talking about that for God, at least 10 years, you know, and whoever thought that it would ever get made, and here it is. Or, you know, even Alien Earth. You know, that something else they've been talking about forever, and it finally got made. So who knows?
Yep.
It seems like the ship has kind of sailed on 13 Ghosts, but I guess you never know.
So. You never know. Yeah. But hey, man, that's our list. That's our guilty pleasure list for this year. And I'm sure we could probably do an episode like this.
Oh,
every
my God.
Year
I could also keep going, because every time I would look up one of the films on the list, I'd look down and it would say more like this. And I'd go,
I know.
Oh, God, there's another one. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, with this list could have had 100 titles on it, probably, of just stuff that it'd be fun to talk about. But if you guys have got something that, you know, maybe you, you know, wish that we'd have put on the list, or you've got something that we maybe haven't talked about, you know, in any of our other episodes, or something that is good, you know, unlike, you know, don't give us something terrible. if you've got something that's good, but a guilty pleasure, you know, drop it to us on the hotline. You know, we'd love to read about it. So you can send it at 217-791-7859 if you've got any suggestions of stuff that maybe we should watch. Although, let's be honest, we probably already seen it, but you never know.
Never know.
Cody was very surprised when I told him about Jerusalem.
So I'm excited.
I know. So there's some good stuff there. You know, it's like, I don't know, a lot of stuff out there that nobody's seen yet that I know there's stuff that we both have not seen that we should. So anyway, guys, well, that's it for this time. We're not going to read out a big list of all kinds of stuff and things. We're just going to wrap things up and tell you that we hope you enjoyed this, and we hope that you have a very happy Halloween, and that maybe this will add a little bit of fun to your Halloween morning when you listen to this on your way to work, or better yet, at work, because, I mean, who should be working on Halloween?
Exactly.
Who should be working on Halloween? It's a holiday, man. Just take it off as a religious holiday. Tell your boss, you know, that you had to take it off. So, you know, there you go.
It's beautiful.
Anyway.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Have a safe and happy Halloween, everybody. And that's all I got.
All right, man. Okay. Well, take care. And we'll see you this coming week with a new episode from season 9. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Bye.